God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based off of our epistle reading. As we start getting to the close of a church year, we are reminded of Christ's second coming. He is coming again. The last Sunday of the church year is Christ the King Sunday. We are reminded that Christ is King. But in today's passage, we are also reminded of another office our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ holds. Not only does he hold the office of prophet in which he proclaims God's word, but he also holds what we call the office of high priest, in which he makes a sacrifice. That's what the high priest did. They would make those animal sacrifices to appease the wrath of God, to atone for sin. But Jesus, our great high priest, makes the ultimate sacrifice. He is the one who takes on flesh and blood. He is the one who comes to earth. He is the one that drives himself to the cross to shed his blood, his now atoning blood, for the sins of the whole world. And the best thing about this sacrifice is that it doesn't have to be repeated. Bottom line is, throughout the Old Testament sacrificial system, they would always have to repeat these sacrifices over and over again. But now that we have a Savior who takes on flesh and blood, who he himself is the sacrifice, his sacrifice now cannot be repeated. He sacrificed once and for all on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. Now, very often we talk about this message of Christ's death, his resurrection from the cross. We will note that it is a sacrifice, but we also need to realize on how the sacrifice is applied and why. It's applied because of our sinfulness. We need to realize that ever since Adam and Eve sinned, humanity was steeped in sin. Would they pass this sin on to the next generation, to you and me, and we also still continue to sin and fall short of God's glory? Now, what's God's plan here? Many of you may know, if you've ever had to do any type of work around the house, that rehabbing a house may not be as easy as it comes to be on TV. If you're like me, if I do a simple project that the average person can probably do in 10 minutes, it takes me about 10 days. So I also have a great appreciation for, you know, if something's broke, I'd rather not fix it because it's going to take me a lot longer to fix it. Well, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ doesn't have the same mentality that I do, fortunately. He realizes that humanity is broke. And so, in one essence, he has to fix it. Now, of course, he could always start over again. Builders of new construction always find it a lot easier than people who are trying to rehab. Why? Because there aren't any problems that you might run into. You start from scratch and you build it from scratch and it usually flows a lot faster. But rehab projects take a little bit more work and effort. Why? You never know what you might find. Not saying that Christ our Savior did not know what was going to be happening, but it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work to take on flesh and blood. He didn't have to. It was a lot of work to live the life that we live, to undergo the trials, the temptations, the same struggles that you have, Christ our Savior also had. The difference is that while he was facing these struggles, he was without sin. We, unfortunately, fall back into the old habits of sin. So he bears that price and ultimately to the cross, so that when his sacrifice takes place on the cross, it is a perfect sacrifice, one that now lasts for all eternity. For this we give all great praise and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he has done. Now, notice in our text, after we understand the concept of him being our high priest, near the end, starting with verse 27, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Now, very often when we start thinking of judgment and start thinking of the end of the world, or maybe the end of our life, we might have some apprehension. We might have a little anxiety here. Are we really ready for it to happen? And if so, what's going to happen at that point? Is Christ going to recall all our sin? Is he going to remind us of all the mistakes that I've made in life? Notice what our text says. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. So if you have this idea that every single sin in your mind and on your conscience that haunts you is going to be unraveled through all people to hear and understand, and so that you're going to be embarrassed and accused, notice what the rest of that verse says. Not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So if you are thinking that that last day, that our Savior was going to go through all your conscience, all the skeletons in your closet, and make them publicly aware to everyone, we're not reading the same Bible here, folks. Because Christ took care of sin. When you look to the cross, you see the sin of the whole world being taken care of. That's what it means for Christ to be that high priest. It wasn't just to take care of a little sin, or just to get you started on the Christian path, but to take care of all sin throughout time and eternity to fix the brokenness of Christ's creation. We got to remember that God created all things. All of this is his. And when sin came in, it corrupted that creation and needed to be rehabbed, needed to be fixed. Christ is now that high priest, makes that sacrifice to fix it. Done deal. It's now repaired. We look to the cross of Jesus. We trust in his promises. And we know it's done and done right. But our thoughts quickly turn to, if it's done right, why am I still living in pain? Why do I still suffer the effects of sin? Why is my life still filled with a lot of tension, trials, and turmoil? Didn't Christ fix it? And the answer is yes. But remember what the last verse of our text says. He is coming again. And when he does come again, then he's coming to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. It will be completely fixed. All our problems will be taken care of. They have been through Christ. And when he comes again, then there will be perfect peace. Until that time, however, we're still going to have to struggle with the effects of sin. We're still going to have to struggle with the pain, the trials, the temptations. But our Savior does not leave us alone. He's not some distant high priest that just does his sacrifice in Jerusalem or wherever. He is that high priest who comes daily in our lives here and now to give us that strength. The strength we need to face the trials and temptations that this world is so quick to give to us. Yes, we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us because he himself has been there, done that, and he knows the burdens that we face. And so, in one essence, as we look to his great sacrifice on the cross, that will give us the strength we need to help us with our trials and temptations. And in one essence, for the Christian, what happens when those temptations come? Should we immediately give in to them? The answer is no. We shouldn't say, because I'm a fallen creature still and Christ hasn't finally restored me with a spiritual glorified body in heaven above so that I'm perfect, that I will just give in to all types of sin and temptation. No. We look to the sacrifice that he made on the cross for the whole world, and that gives us hope. It gives us strength. Because sometimes in our own lives, we also have to make those sacrifices. Things don't go the way we plan. Sometimes we're going to have to do a little bit of giving and taking. And that's what Christ's sacrifice was all about. You see, when mankind fell into sin, you know, Christ had that choice. Do I just wipe them all out and start over again? That was a possibility. But he chose to take on flesh and blood. He chose to be that great high priest. He chose to complete God our salvation this way. It wasn't easy. It cost his very life, pain, suffering, his own blood. So are we also going to have those similar trials on this side of eternity? The answer is yes, we are. We're going through it right now. But God gives us his holy word. He gives us his promises. He even then gives us his own body and blood. One sacrifice on the cross now comes to us in bread and wine. Why? Because he knows in our own lives that there's going to be discomforts, there's going to be trials, there's going to be burdens. And as high priest, he does care. And so he's willing to give of himself for you. But in the midst of our sinful condition, are we always willing to give of ourselves for others? You know, fair enough, in today's Old Testament and Gospel reading, you have two episodes of giving, one to the prophet and one to the collection. But how well do you give of yourself? Now, I'm not saying that you have to be like the widow who gives all that she had. But are you a giving type person? One who's willing to make a sacrifice for other people, knowing that the reason behind that sacrifice is because the sacrifice that Christ gave. So are you at the point in your life where you realize what Christ has done for you, how he has blessed you with an abundance, you're overflowing with your abundance, and now how you have an opportunity to share what Christ has already overly blessed you with those around you? Every 8 weeks, you will find that I will donate an hour of my time, in which I also donate a pint of my blood. Every 2 months, I always give blood through LifeSource Blood Services. Why? A, there's a need. B, it's helping other people. And C, I have that opportunity to do it. All that is driven not out of some sense of reward, the juice and cookies that they give, great, but out of a sense of what Christ has done. Since Christ was able to give of himself for the whole entire world, can't I give of myself to other people? Can't I share myself in maybe even little things, in helping someone in need, sharing the love of Christ, forgiving somebody, helping two people to reconcile? There are many things that we can do, many opportunities that Christ puts before us that we can then sacrifice our selfish ambition and give to others. We don't do this so that we can earn a place in heaven above. No, that's already been accomplished for us by Christ's death upon the cross. But we see his great sacrifice as high priest for us and his love for us that should naturally overflow from us to other people. So this day, as we begin to wind down to the end of the church year, and as the church starts talking about that second coming, too often people will start panicking. And in that panic, what do they want to do is they want to hoard. They want to say, it's all mine. It's all mine. How much can I get for myself? However, for the Christian, as we are reminded about the end of our text, Christ didn't come to deal with sin. He's already did that with his first coming. But to save those who are eagerly waiting for him denotes not a hoarding spirit, but a giving spirit. How can we still share Christ's love and his forgiveness before the time runs out? Because one of these days, Christ is going to come again. We don't know when. It could even be today. It could be after the Cubs win the World Series, which may take a while, but that's okay. I'm patient. I'm willing to wait. He is going to come. That much is certain. Until that time, we ask the Lord to continue to fill us with his spirit so that we do not have a spirit of fear and a spirit of hoarding, but a spirit of giving, a spirit of sharing, a spirit of loving. As Christ did for the whole world and gave himself up for the whole world, we ask the Lord to help us to give, help us to share, help us to have a similar type sacrifice that our Lord and Savior did for us. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.